All right, back on Zoom again.
Yay! Let's
That's
do
okay.
some podcast recording.
Did you have an idea for the intro, or?
I never have an idea for the intro.
All right, well, let's just.
Spinning straight from the pages of the Gallows Man comes a brand new series of tales. Not tales as in what furries wish they had behind them, but rather the story type of tales, like what you would find in a comic book. Speaking of which, this is an ad for Tales from Town City Number 1. This anthology series follows lesser-known characters that were introduced in the Gallows Man miniseries.
Mr. Pop.
What was that? What was that all? Did you make that?
I don't know. Who's?
It's sort of like it took over our audio, except it was in my brain, though. It was like in my brain?
Is that normal? The headphones that you're wearing.
Kind of felt it in my arm a little bit. It was odd.
Yeah.
Am I having a heart attack? I don't know. It's odd.
You might be having a heart attack.
I might be. I'm of the age. It just.
Look, I think they call that an ultra stroke.
What the heck that was?
Yeah. We're on a Zoom call, so maybe somebody hijacked our Zoom? I don't know.
It's possible.
That sounds made up. No, it was something else.
No.
Wait, who's
that? Is there somebody else on the call?
I see another face.
The mighty and powerful Hypno-Ray commands you to focus on this podcast that I have hijacked.
I
can only compel. I can only comply with this demand.
Yes, Chef.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues. Zero Issues.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Mysterious stranger, we must ask, who are you? Who are you, and why have you taken over our signal?
I am the mighty and powerful Hypno-Ray. Yes. I've taken over this signal because there is a comic book featuring me in it that everyone must read, and I am hypnotizing everyone listening, and you must seek it. You must seek this comic book. And read it. And you must listen to all of this podcast. It's a command. You must do it.
Listen to that. Listen to all of it. For sure. Obey.
Now.
You must. Oh, now. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. You know what?
Right. Later, right?
I'm just going to
I'm on board.
Along with
I'm on board. I'm on board.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
So we do have a guest this week.
Mm-hmm.
All shenanigans aside. Introducing us quickly. I'm Merc.
I'm Bri.
I'm Kyle.
And our guest is Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
The lovely and talented Brandon Ingram. Sorry.
No. Thank you. Thank you. It leaves me for not having to do an introduction trying to hype myself up. Using adjectives for myself seems kind of douchey. So.
No. I feel like, as a fellow video screen, you are very tall, aren't you?
Oh, the tall thing? Yes.
Yeah, he's tall. Yes. He's a tall boy.
Tall. You can tell. And I know the adjective thing, as a fellow BR name person, it's a little tricky sometimes, to be honest with you, I feel, to get a good that's adjective
true.
Going, you know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just what that's I true. Think. But so that's good.
So what? It...
Good interview question.
Yeah. See, there you go. That's the.
So Brandon is running a Kickstarter. For a comic coming up. Maybe instead of me introducing what it is, how about if you want to tell us exactly what it is, where it's coming from, what's going on, let everybody know.
Yeah, sure. So the Kickstarter is for Tales from Town City Number 1. It's a comic I've been working on for a little bit. It's a spinoff of a series I've already been making called The Gallows Man. The first two issues are already out for that.
Nice.
There's going to be two more for that, but Tales from Town City is a spinoff of The Gallows Man. The Gallows Man, best way to describe it is 1960s Adam West Batman. Throw in Inglourious Basterds and you got The Gallows Man.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
That's the way to describe the Gallows Man.
Interesting.
Because in the 1940s, he's doing like the cheesy jokes and stuff, like 1960s Adam West Batman, while he's beating up and killing Nazis. It's a fun book, and Tales from Town City is a spinoff from it where it follows some of the minor characters that were introduced in the Gallows Man. And with issue one, there's three different stories. There's one story that follows two homeless villains who are trying to use their powers to convince a convenience store clerk that their coupons are not expired. The second story follows a mortician who is trying to make sense of these dead villains' names that he's cremating. And then the third story follows a team of super animals, basically, called the Fierce Pets. And PETS is an acronym that stands for Precise Ecosystemic Tactical Squad. And nice. these super animals are basically slaughtering poachers. So there's three stories within issue one of Tales from Town City. There will be more issues in the future, but the Kickstarter is specifically for the first issue, and it'll be running from September 5th to October 5th.
Cool. Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll even just ask some obvious questions. Like, this is a spinoff series. So for a spinoff series, do you need to know the original Gallows Man to enjoy that?
With this one, no. Like, I've had people review it and stuff, and they didn't even know what the heck the Gallows Man was, and they loved this issue. It's one of those things where you'll really enjoy this issue just by itself if you've never read the Gallows Man. If you've read the Gallows Man, you'll recognize some of these characters and stuff, and it's like, right. Oh, hey, there's that person, or hey, like, this fits in with, like, this part of the story, like it takes place in this part of the story. So if you've read The Gallows Man, you'll get some enjoyment out of it. If you haven't read The Gallows Man, you'll get enjoyment out of it, but you don't have to read The Gallows Man to enjoy this comic.
And we can all three of us can attest to that, because you said the book in advance and we looked through it, and
I knew that there was more to that character with not to spoil anything with kind of that introduction, just the immediate introduction. Yeah, it's like, exactly. It's like, just, you know, like, and again, like a classic comic, and also like a parody of a classic comic, being self-aware and everything. You know, it just it got you right up to speed. You could jump right in here, and you know, there's more to get into if you want to. I like that.
Yeah.
Question right off the bat. For the Fierce Pets, did you write dialogue?
Yes, that's a good question. No. Yes, for the pets, for those listening that aren't sure what he's talking about, there are times where the animals are talking to each other, or like they're saying stuff, but you as the reader, you're just seeing like animal noises, like bark 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 bark, or meow 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 meow, or with other animals. Like, I had to, like, some of these animals don't have like those iconic sounds to where I would then have to look up audio of those animals and come up with like a iconic sound for them.
What does a flying squirrel sound like when it talks?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But,
and so I did that. I'm
scared of them now, actually.
to answer your question, Kyle, like, yes, like I wrote dialogue for each of these animals, then just took out each word and put the animal noise, basically.
Yep.
Because there's that one page where it's Hang Mutt and the cat that is one
whole page. Yes, they're talking back and forth.
So it's bark, 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 meow, 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 bark, 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 question mark, like different stuff that. There were words, and then I just replaced it. I think it works fairly well to where, like, you have no idea what they're saying, but you understand the gist of it.
Exactly. You don't really need to. It's you know, it's well done visual storytelling.
Can I make a weird suggestion? The idea, like with Kickstarter, there's always little bonuses and things. Mm-hmm. You could have that comic when it's actually translated. And you can, that's what the animals were actually saying.
Like, translated from doggies.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, translated exactly.
From
let's kill all the humans. No, should we kill them all right now? No, let's kill them all later. Yeah, I'm going to tear his throat out.
I like that. I kind of do like the idea of yes, I know what I wrote. But I kind of like the idea of like people somewhat interpreting it. Because for the most part, everyone's going to get roughly the same idea because you can see through the images where it's leading. But like how some sentences are, it's just kind of interesting what some people may think they're saying compared to others. Totally. But still leads down the same road.
Yeah.
The glorious ultra violence. I did enjoy the glorious. Because Juan Romero, I guess, is the artist of this, and I guess we'll get into another as well. But very enjoyable to read and look at.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, Juan kills it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, maybe let's talk about your creative team. Like who are they? How do you know them? Like did you write this on your own and then try to find people that to join your team, or did you have an idea of like, I've already got these people, we're going to work together and make this thing?
So I'll start with Juan first. So first I wrote all these stories. I wrote all the stories in this issue back in November of 2022. That's when I was really diving deep into the idea of doing the spinoff from the Gallows Man.
Yeah,
I wrote all the stories for this issue 2 and issue 3 between like November and December, got those all written out. Then in February, that's when I was starting to look for artists. And that's when I there's a book that I've been a fan of Juan's even before, like I reached out to him to work on this book. There's a comic called Slowpokes, which is it's about these. It's basically like, what if sloths had speed? Like they were fast.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And they're like these vicious killers, basically.
Asking the really hard questions. Holy.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where it was like, I really enjoyed this book, especially Juan's art in it. And I could tell he could do like animal, like crazy brutal stuff, like animals killing people and stuff like that through that book. And I had the idea of Fierce Pets. I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to get him to do that. And then whenever I was like writing Tinfoiled Hypnotism, like that one's mostly, compared to Fierce Pets, it's very different because that one's mostly like dialogue-based.
Yeah. Yeah. It's two characters just back and forth. Yeah,
exactly. There's not a whole lot of action that's happening in that. But I saw with Slowpokes, there's not a ton of it, but I saw with Slowpokes, like, there's moments, and I could see with Juan's art, where he is good with like comedic art style and comedic storytelling, even if it's just two people having a conversation. And that all comes down to like faces. Can you make faces look great for comedy? And he could. I'm not trying to bash some artists, but that's a tough thing with making comics is like faces, especially like comedic comics, because it all comes down to those faces.
It's the acting, you know, and it's like the acting and directing, but it has to express and it has to sort of perform the, you know, it has to work, and they worked absolutely
exactly. And so I was looking for artists for specifically Fierce Pets. Wound up like reading Slowpokes again. Reached out to Juan. He got on the book, and then. As I think when I reached out to him, I was like, I think he could also do Tinfoiled Hypnotism. So I just reached out to him about both, and he signed on for the book. And then the backup, that was kind of around like February or March. I thought of doing like these 4 or 5 page stories in each one. The reason I did that is Helen Bolton's the artist for that one, Making Sense of Names, where it's the mortician. It's only a 4-page story.
Yep.
Yeah. I wanted to get Helen on the book because she's the main artist of The Gallows Man. So I kind of wanted to get not Easter egg, but kind of like, hey, like got
there's a bit, there's original... a bit of continuity there.
There's a nod, an extra link. So I got her to do that one, and that was amazing. And Nikki Powers, who does the lettering for Tenfold Hypnotism and for Fierce Pets, I've worked with her on like a ton of stuff. She's like the go-to letterer for
she's,
me.
Like, she's her stuff is great. Like, yes, that was one of the first things I noticed was like this, like the lettering sharp, the dialogue balloons are the exact kind that are the best kind.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that, sure. that's a big thing. Is like
it
like,
is. You know what? And these doesn't get appreciated enough. Are very particular about their lettering and their dialogue balloons.
So yeah, I was about to say
that's big praise.
Lettering can kill or hype up a book.
Yeah.
If the lettering is like, if you could have amazing art, you could have like Andrea Sorrentino art, but you have like basically like 5-year old letterer. Like what I mean by that is like it looks like a 5-year old did the lettering basically.
Yeah.
And you slap that onto Andrea Sorrentino art, it doesn't look as good. It can kill the book. So that's one thing that comic fans can overlook, but they notice. It might not be clicking, but if they see a book with bad lettering, they might not point out the lettering, but they'll be like, something's off with this.
Yeah, exactly.
You can
yeah.
tell.
And it gets so underappreciated because, you know, if it's done well, you don't even really notice it. Like, it's just so natural. And I mean, like, it's easy to sort of not appreciate that takes quite a bit of skill to not, you know what I mean?
I think of it like when I've heard directors talk about the scores for films. That if it's a very good score, you don't even notice it. Like it's just, it's enhancing the thing. But if it's bad, you're going to notice it and you're going to notice it negatively. And you're like, oh, what did that? Yeah, that's not good. So yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's a good blend that's there. But yeah, Nikki killed it. Like that whole team did an amazing job on this book. And then with like the cover, the main cover, Juan did the main cover for that where it's the fierce pets on that. Then the variant cover is done by Thomas Tikas. Again, another like nod or pull from the original Gallows Man series. Yeah. Thomas does the main cover art for the Gallows Man. He did issues 1-4, the main cover art. So I was like, I kind of want to get him to do like the variant cover for this one. Just another nod back to the Gallows Man.
Nice.
You gotta fill this world out. Hey.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
If I can ask, we don't know much about you or your team other than what you've just told us. Where are you? Where are you located?
So I'm located in a place called Navarre, Florida. It's basically Northwest Florida, close to Pensacola, Florida. I kind of like where I am. I'm not a giant fan.
That sounds hesitant.
Okay. I mean, that sounds like
everybody has that to some degree. Come on.
My thing is like, I'm not a big beach guy because I just like grew up around it to where it's like people that grow up around like mountains or wilderness. Like, it's like, you get desensitized to it because you're around it all the time.
Because
I grew up around the beach, but I want to live in those mountainous or wilderness areas, basically. But that's a one day thing. It's not like I have to do that, but I live in Northwest Florida. I have been writing comics since you'd say around 2017, 2018 in terms of actually like trying to get somewhat professional with it. March or April of 2019 is when I was actually seeking artists, to do various books. Cause the first books I hired people for was, Dismay Avenue #1 and Dismay Avenue #2, which are horror anthologies that I've done. It's a series that I have going on, and issue 3 will probably come out sometime next year. But, that's how I started, was with the horror anthologies and then Gallows Man, now Tales from Town City. And there's a couple other series I want to get going eventually, but
Like sort of schedule these things out so that, you know, you've always got something coming out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially this past year, I think back in January or February, I was really serious about like when stuff will come out rather than like, I'll do a Kickstarter sometime this year. I want to do obviously this one, September 5th. Then I want to try to do one January or February of 2024. I'd like to do one in May or June of 2024, and then maybe another around October. So I want to do, there's going to be at least 2 Kickstarters next year. I'd like to have 3 next year.
Nice.
Wow. And on that
have
topic,
you, have you I found mean, like you've been doing, oh no, go ahead, Bri.
No, sorry. No, this is your question. I was just jumping on opportunity. Go.
I'm just wondering, like I've used Kickstarter in the past, and it's not always the smoothest thing, but like it's a necessary evil when you're doing this sort of thing. What sort of challenges have you found with operating Kickstarter?
I would say nowadays, because this will be technically my fifth Kickstarter campaign. So I've kind of gotten a groove of it, but there's always, through each Kickstarter you do, there's going to be mistakes that you learn from. Yeah. And I've learned from each one along the way, but I'd say the biggest challenge was my very first one. And I wouldn't entirely say it's like Kickstarter's fault. It's more just like, I didn't understand what I was getting into type thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Back
it's hard
in,
to know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Back in September or October of 2020 was the first time I did a Kickstarter. It was for issue one of Dismay Avenue. And I wouldn't entirely say I set the goal too high. It was a reasonable goal. The issue was I didn't entirely know marketing, what to do in terms of marketing wise, because the page looked decent. It was a decent Kickstarter page. I knew I could fulfill all this stuff. My biggest issue was like marketing a Kickstarter. That time I didn't really reach out to anyone, like any podcast or shows or review sites, like different stuff like that. It was literally like posting it on the Facebook groups and stuff like that talk about this. And that's also like almost like an echo chamber, because it's all of us indie creators just like, look at my thing.
Look at mine.
Exactly. There's no,
you know,
like,
you can make some friendships through there and stuff and connections, but it's just, you know, it's, I feel like, you know, not to interrupt or anything, but I feel like it takes a lot of like effort and bandwidth to like make stuff, period. So like being able to like reach out and manage all that is, it can be a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I have made like some great connections through those Facebook groups, especially through podcasts and Instagram and stuff like that. But it was one of those things where at that time I didn't know what all was involved in terms of having a successful Kickstarter, and it all relied on the marketing. And at that time I was like, clueless of any of that.
Creatives aren't always necessarily, you know, the salespeople, you know, it's those are two different skills, and it's having to develop both is tricky, but you know.
Oh yeah. To the point where that first Kickstarter, it failed. It was my fault. It was completely my fault. But after that, I had learned so much through that failure, like through the mistakes I had made from that. It was one of those things where it could have been like, oh, I just quit and just like don't do this anymore. But it was like, no, like these were faults of my own. This wasn't like other people's faults. So I'll just learn from that, recollect, and then go at it so much stronger now that I know at least somewhat what to do. And that next Kickstarter
proud of
was
that. That's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to fail and learn from the failures and do better next time. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's each Kickstarter. Like each Kickstarter has been better than the next. Cause after that one that failed, I did Gallows Man number one. That did great. As well as was able to like send all the backer stuff like perfectly in time. Like there's hiccups here and there with printers and stuff like that, but you plan ahead for that type of thing in case it does happen. But but like each one, there are mistakes in each Kickstarter. It's just how it'll happen. You'll never have a perfect Kickstarter. There's mistakes in each one, and you just learn from it. You just get better at it. Like I've learned so much from my last Kickstarter, which was Dismay Avenue number one and two. Like I decided to actually do two of them as a Kickstarter, and it's been the best Kickstarter I've done so far. And I applied, even with that being the best one, there were mistakes I made, learned from those, applied it to this one, and just keep going. And that's the thing, is there's likely going to be some mistakes that I make with this one. Like no Kickstarter is perfect.
No, for sure.
So I'll just learn from those and just keep going at it. Keep perfecting.
Everybody's kind of make their own kind of guidebook in a way. Like there's no guidebook for any of this. Like, you know, it's just sometimes what works for one person might not work for the next person. And you gotta, you know, you kind of have to make your own way of managing all this and making it successful. And it takes a lot of ingenuity and a lot of creativity to do it. So, I mean, yeah.
That's the thing is you can learn a lot from others, from their Kickstarters or through talking with them and stuff. But like you said, there's some stuff where you just kind of have to learn from what you did, how to change what you did or whatever it may be. So let's see. So that failed Kickstarter was late 2020. I'm 3 years past that, three successful Kickstarters since then. And I love it. I want to keep going with it. I love this.
So maybe
I love it when it works. Everything actually, you know, it works the way it should work. It seems rare, but it's wonderful.
Oh yeah.
So maybe if you want to go into a little bit of what your current or upcoming Kickstarter, because as of the time we're recording, it is not quite launched, but it's about
what
to
is
launch.
The what is the launch date?
September 5th. It'll launch at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. So noon Central Standard Time. September 5th is when it'll launch. There's a ton of like great stuff within the Kickstarter. Like obviously the Tales from Town City number one book. The book is completely done now. Like from the time I emailed you guys, it was 95% done. It's now 100% done. Book's completely done now. To where it's mostly focused on like printing now. And I've worked with this printer like multiple times, so I know what to expect. Like it'll
that's a good relationship to build. A relationship with a beautiful.
It's a beautiful feeling when you got it, and it's like, oh, this is what I, you know, it turned out. Yeah. Look at this. It's amazing.
That's what's so cool about like making comics. I'm sure it's the same with if you made a movie or an album or whatever it may be. That those milestones that happen, like whenever you got your first page back from an artist, it's like, holy crap, like just in
it's really a JPEG happening. Or other thing happens and it's really happening. Yeah.
Seeing that first page, it's like, holy crap. And then later on, seeing like the whole story or the whole comic done in online, it's like, holy crap, that looks amazing. Then actually holding the printed copy is like extremely surreal.
Yeah. It's a physical, literal object in your hands that you shepherd, you know what I mean? Like it's lovely.
Holding that in your hand and then selling that and other people being able to hold it. It's like, that's also, there's like all these milestones with like, I'm not a father, so I know this isn't the exact same thing, but it's almost like, your baby. It's like, oh my gosh, like this baby from my mind, kind
your
of
brain baby.
Like, oh crap. Yeah, my brain baby, basically. That's the best way to put it. It's amazing to see. And it's amazing to see each time. It's not as much of a high as it was like the first time, like seeing the
your second baby.
I already got one of these. Whatever.
Like I'm not a parent either, but the babies also work in you ship them out to people who buy them and then you put them in bags and then put them in boxes. That's how regular babies also work.
That's how babies
work.
QAnon, right?
This is I don't know. What do I know? Oh no.
Oh god.
But yeah, at least I'll say the thing that does still kind of carry on is like the new comic you do whenever you are holding it physically, that feeling is still kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. like whenever Tales from Town City number one, whenever that comes from the printers and I'm holding it, it's still going to be almost the same feeling as the first time I held my first physical comic. So I'm looking especially forward to it.
You have like kind of a shared world going on, and the more that expands and stuff, it's like that's special, you know. It's another chapter in something that you're you know guiding. That's cool.
Yeah, and some of my friends who like buy and keep up with the Gallows Man and Tales from Town City, like there's a couple friends where I'll send them the stuff as I'm making it because they're kind of like my test audience, kind of see their thoughts because they want to make comics, but they're also comic fans, so it's a good exactly. Yeah. They're not like yes men. Like they'll tell me if like maybe this or that, because most of the time when I'll send stuff, it's very minute stuff. It's like, should I go with this color for this person's jacket or this color for this person's jacket? Like just random stuff like that. But it does help me at least.
They should be naked.
Okay. Yeah. At all times.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They should well, have.
Imagine it's weird the kind of reactions you get to that where it's like maybe someone doesn't give a damn and maybe someone's like, no, it has to be like it would look way better this way. Yeah.
That's why
you feel more passionate about it than I do, sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why there's a select couple that I'll send to who like ultimately they likely do think like it doesn't matter either way because it is like these minute things. But they will give me feedback on like this or that, even though ultimately they will be like, I couldn't really see the difference until you actually pointed it out.
That sounds familiar.
We've all been there. Yeah.
I mean, you're always going to look at things like, you know, you have to look at things that closely, especially if you're creating something and, you know, it's always good when you can actually share that stuff, though, and get honest, but respectful and like well-intentioned. Oh, that's scary.
What's interesting is with what you mentioned, like yourself being like your biggest critic or whatever it may be, especially like pinpointing, nitpicking stuff. Like there's stuff which there's a second printing of Gallows Man because we sold out all of Gallows Man number one and number two.
Nice.
We're at second printing.
Cool. Right on.
And especially with Gallows Man number one, almost no one saw any of these, but there were a few little things that bugged me that were kind of like errors on my part to where I was like, in the second printing, I was like, I'm going to fix this. I want to change this. Yeah. No one's going to notice. No one's going to notice unless I like tell them, hey, like here's the difference. But I noticed because I noticed like a month or two after it was printed. So it was like, with the second printing, I'm happy with those type of things. But I mentioned that just because you yourself as the creator of that thing will try to perfect this thing as much as you can. But there's nothing is perfect.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what it boils down to. Nothing is perfect. You have to get it to as good as you can get it, but understand that like a year or two down the road, I might look back on this and think about the flaws that I had, even though no one else will see it.
Yeah.
I always think about I teach a lot of art. And I always talk about like when you're with somebody, they get so focused. It's got to look like this, or it's like a failure. I'm like, it's not a failure. It's a step. You take that step, you learn from that thing, and you go on. And there's that saying, and I'm not sure who it's originally attributed to.
Is this the theme of the episode?
No, really. Is it the idea of you're not finished a piece of art or whatever you're doing, you just abandon it. And you're like, I'm done. I need to back off now, or I'm going to. You delve too deep and you redraw and you do more stuff and you rewrite. Yeah. And you're like, I just totally screwed this up because I couldn't get my hands off it. And
exactly. I was in
I
was in an unhealthy realm of that back when I was making like the first Gallows Man, the first issue of that, like the writing as well as just, mostly writing and like editing. Unhealthy realm of that, as well as unhealthy realm of time constraints and deadlines. It's good to set deadlines for yourself, but it's also important to understand, like, if you aren't working for a publisher, if you made your own business and it's on your time, to understand that there can be some leeway. Now, don't take a crap ton of leeway with yourself. It's good to have those deadlines. But to not be as strict on yourself because it's like, I don't have a boss. This isn't my primary form of income. Yeah. This is something I'm passionate about that I love, but ultimately it is like, it's essentially a hobby. Like there's some income there, but it's not my primary income. So understanding that so that I can enjoy it. This isn't a job. It's to be like, I love this. And if it becomes like a primary source to make you miserable. One day. Exactly. It's this thing that I started out as a passionate thing that I love, and to keep that going. So it was two or 3 years ago I finally like got to that realization of like, chill, Brandon. Yeah. Like back up off this. Like there's going to be so many things that you nitpick on your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do as much as you can. Then, as you said, back away from it. It's now done. It's been done. No one will notice any of these things that you are so hyper-focused on. Back away from it. Produce it. And when it comes to some of those deadlines you're setting, ease up on yourself a little bit.
Yep.
And since then, I have not felt that way any. As well as, like, I've enjoyed every step of the way. Yes, there's, like, some things that can be aggravating here and there. But I still love this. Like it's still something awesome.
And it's creating is all about, there's a certain kind of balance you need to kind of have, I think. You need to, you know, one, like you need to, and I get that too when you're talking about, like, especially the first time, you're like, is this good enough? You're going to really be, you know, focused on, and that could be very, very anxiety inducing for me anyway. I can only tell you how I feel about these things. But I mean, like, once you, like you've had multiple successful Kickstarters. I mean, like, you don't have a boss. This isn't like your full time main job, main source of income. So I mean, like, you don't have a boss. However, the fact that, you know, it worked and it worked again and it worked again. And like, that's the thing. People who, you know, checked it out, liked it, came back for more. And as long as, you know, you're having that, I mean, that's a great way to look at it, because it's about creative expression and it's about, you know, improving and making something because it makes you feel good to do it. And that's the beauty of comics. And it's beautiful that there's so many avenues to do that now, I think.
Exactly.
I'm just, you know, I just feel, I'm feeling very, very good about.
Very zen about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go back to your Kickstarter specifically, I guess, but when this episode airs, the Kickstarter will be on. What can you just drop some of the little bonus cool features that you're going to be having going on?
So it'll be from September 5th to October 5th is when the Kickstarter will be up. Cool. There's a pledge tier or reward tier for any budget, ranging from $1 all the way to, I believe, $75. Like, simply $1, by doing the $1 tier, it's social media thank you. Like, you'll be a part of, like, the posts that we do on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Your name will be a part of that. But if you actually want the comic and stuff, you can get issue one digitally for $5. The physical issue, I believe, is $10. You can get issue one of Tales from Town City, issue one and two of The Gallows Man digitally for $12.
I was going to ask that. I was like, because if you can't access it, I was like, I wonder if we can get the other stuff. Awesome.
Yeah, there's some some like catch up. It's not even catch up, but like kind of like catch up tears where it's like, you can read some Gallows
Mustard
Man
tears and
exactly.
Tears.
Yeah.
Got the mayo tears.
I'd relish the opportunity, frankly.
But yeah, $12 is all three of those digitally. And I should also mention, like, this is a 32-page comic. Issue one and two of The Gallows Man are each 49 pages each.
Holy cow.
So, like, do the math. My brain is shot today. Do the math. Over 100 pages of the comics for $12 right there digitally.
Better deal than the big cover. Two digitally, let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
Better value,
as well as
much better.
The variant cover you can get. There's also the main cover and variant cover of Tales from Town City bundled, which is like cheaper than like ultimately cheaper bundled, because you get that plus both of them are signed. You also get a sticker set for the book. You get a bunch of PDF little goodies as well. Then there's also same thing where it's like Tales from Town City number one, as well as Gallows Man number one and two, like physical. You can get those physically as bundles. There's retailer bundles because we've had some comic shops buy where it's five copies of the main cover of Tales from Town City, five copies of the variant cover. And that's $45 for 10 copies. Wow. And all of them are signed as well. That's just
pretty damn good.
That is pretty good.
Just a good way to.
Oh, wait, this is US prices. So this is about $700 Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing with the retailer thing, the retailer bundle, that's the only one that it's only available in the US.
Yeah, totally.
Just because of those shipping costs.
Oh, yeah.
Shipping is just nuts. Yeah.
If you're trying to ship a box, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I went to the shop this week and I had some like special, like, you know, they're like big oversized, like prestige one shots and like fancy versions of just like the exchange rate was gave me a little heart attack. Anyway,
it's wild to see, like, literally just and I had people buy this. I'm not trying to like talk down my own stuff, but I remember with the Disney Avenue Kickstarter, there was a couple people from Australia that bought the books physically. And it's like they paid more for shipping than for the books.
Yeah.
Because I think it was ridiculous.
The same thing. Yeah.
It was wild. But I mean, they wanted the books. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I know this is bad marketing on my part. If you're international, if you want the books physically, you just have to have the books physically, then do that. I recommend if you're international, especially now Canada is a little bit different in terms of shipping, but if you're UK, Australia, or whatever, like, maybe just get the books digitally. If you have to have them physically.
We are 45 minutes from the US border, actually. We're fortunate in that sense. Yeah. If we needed to make a border run, we can do that.
It is very common. That's a very common thing. There's a place called Ryden's. Yeah, is a business.
There's a couple, actually. There's a couple of businesses that they run on that.
So you ship it up, you just hop over the border, grab your stuff, go back.
A few bucks to get it. Pretty good.
Nice. But yeah, like if you're in Europe or Asia or anything like that, I'd probably recommend digital unless you just have to have it physically. But yeah, so there's the retailer bundle. There's also bundles where it's like all of the covers, like both main and variant cover of Gallows Man 1 and 2, main and variant cover of Tales from Town City #1. There's those type of bundles.
And that's just cool to have.
Oh, yeah. It's especially like, I'm not big on like the whole variant cover thing. That's why I only do one variant cover per book.
I appreciate that.
I get it in terms of like getting your Kickstarter like higher and higher up in terms of money, but like having like cover A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, having like eight variant, like eight covers.
Yeah,
very excessive.
It gets a little ridiculous.
I don't like doing more than one other cover, like main cover, variant cover. That's it.
Yeah. For sure, it's out of control. It's absolutely out of control again.
Now you got the foil cover. It's going right back to the 90s. You got
bingo
foil,
and that went so well. You know, when they did that in the 90s, it was a perfect idea, and nothing bad happened because of that.
It was good for about 2 years.
I'm part of the problem. I just picked up, there's like a facsimile of Amazing Spider-Man 300 with the foil cover, and I'm like, I'm gonna get that. So I did.
You're part of the problem.
Sorry. I am part of the problem and I apologize. I know it.
There's a ton of different rewards and stuff. I went over through a good bit of them. The last one, the $75 one, is like, it's like the creator bundle. It comes with like all kinds of stuff, sticker sets from all the books, all the comics, as well as the variant covers of the comics, including like Gallsman comics. A pint of my blood, a hair from my head.
We can clone you.
Do voodoo stuff, witchcraft, whatever you want. But
just writing some stuff down. just kidding.
That, as well as the reason it's called the creator bundle, there's a 2-hour Zoom consultation that you can do with me, where basically you can send in your script ahead of time, like before the Zoom consultation. I'll look over it. I'll take notes and stuff like that. I'll really dive deep into it, because it's not like I want you to send the script over during the Zoom consultation and I'm just reading the script.
Yeah. Totally.
And then I finally give you notes. No. Like I already have the notes, and that Zoom consultation will be me going over it, as well as other questions you may have or whatever it may be. So that
I'm not wasting your time or your money in backing that.
And that's an awesome idea.
You also get like PDF copies of the scripts of the comics I made, so you can see if I'm a good writer, or you can see if I'm a crappy writer, and you don't ever want to do that tier again.
I mean, it's too late
at that point.
Well, especially like comic, I think that's interesting, seeing like how people script, how people write comics, because I mean, I feel like, you know, like there's different ways to do it. Everybody might have their own.
It's very different compared to like writing a screenplay. A screenplay is at least format wise, pretty much all the same. We all have different, because I've written screenplays before. We all have different like verbiage and language and stuff, but it's the same format. Whereas comics, it's kind of loose with there's no entire format. There's ways to do it, and you can learn from multiple different sources. But I mean, you can have an Alan Moore script.
That's exactly. I was going to say that you can have like every little detail.
Every in the background, detail.
There's a bug on that
blue. Yeah.
There's three, the coffee cup, it's 3/4 full. Just various little details. There's
one page of comic art is like a novella.
Like you could have like the most detailed comic script ever, like that, or you could have like a Dan Slott script, which is very loose, where it's like one or two sentence, not much description, where it's like Dan's script basically does the Marvel way, where it's he'll write out the basic plot, sometimes get another writer to plug in dialogue, that sort of thing. So it's interesting to see with writing comics how vast scripts are in terms of variety and how it's done.
For sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So that's one thing that I would be as like a dork, just being like, oh, I want to see exactly what kind of format they're going to use here. I want to look at that.
But yeah, that's pretty much all the tiers. Oh, I should also mention, I don't know why I keep forgetting this one, because I really like this one. There's going to be a Tales from Town City #1 t-shirt. And it'll have the fierce pets on it with the fierce pets logo below it.
Nice.
That looks very cool.
And it's two colors as well. It's sand or pale pink. Both look great, because I was trying to find the perfect t-shirt colors, and both of those I think look great with the t-shirt design. I'm going to get
the sand. I want to see myself. The pink, though.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's there as well. I think always, you got to swipe over.
Anytime I've done any sort of crowdfunding thing, it's always like part of it is an excuse to like make some merch.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I'm getting one of these too, for sure.
100%. Like with that, because the first time I did a t-shirt for a Kickstarter was with Disney Avenue 1 and 2, and that turned out great. Like I sold a good bit of t-shirts with that through There's a tier, especially like this is the same thing with Tales from Town City. There's a tier for just the t-shirt. If someone's like, I don't give a crap about comics, but I like t-shirts, like, so I'll get the t-shirt. But also shirt, in the pink add-on, good.
I like the pink.
thank you. Also in the add-on section, like if you choose your comic tier in the add-on section, you can also add the t-shirt to it. So there's that option as well. Like with that Disney Avenue one, I really like the t-shirt because the story it's based on was a story I wrote for Disney Avenue #2, which was like very much like Junji Ito inspired, because I really like Junji Ito's artwork as well as his storytelling. And so t-shirt, like this is like the best compliment I've gotten like for a really long time. And I get it a lot. I'd say it's the most common compliment I get. Anytime we're at conventions or anything, I'm usually wearing that t-shirt. And most of the time, at least at each convention, there will be at least three or four people that will be like, oh, awesome Junji Ito shirt. I'll be like, oh, thank you. It's actually from my comic. Thank you for thinking it's Junji Ito, though, because that's a great compliment.
It is.
That's a compliment.
I
had to look it up. You had like the banner and everything, too, like the hand reaching, black and white one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Gorgeous.
Thank you. But it's one of those things where, like, even with the merch, I want it to like be great, or like put effort into it, at least a little bit of effort.
You want it to be worth the effort that people are and the money to put into it. They're not like, here's just token stuff, 100%. Throw it in. Yeah.
Well, I was about to say, I'm not like picking on any particular Kickstarter or creator, or this also goes with DC and Marvel as well. I've seen them do this.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of just like, especially with t-shirts, like lazy. Yeah. Kind of where it's just art where it's just rectangle or whatever. And it's like, I don't know, try a little bit. Maybe just like make the background transparent at least, where like the shirt, the character design fits with the shirt. I don't know. There's tiny stuff you can do to make it look so much better, but they just don't spend that like 30 minutes to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's like, and bang, this is all stuff.
It's a cheap cafe press.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. You know what I mean? But have it. Yeah, exactly. Like, it complements being a shirt. You can use that imagery to, but it also like work with the shirt here and be like, okay, well, like there's like this background. You can cut that out and they're sort of like on the shirt doing something a certain way. Like, it's endless ways to be creative with this stuff. And it is annoying when they kind of just, you know, call it a day without fully thinking it through.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there's anything else specifically you want to bring up while we still have you before we wrap up. I don't know if there's any little bits you want to throw out, or feel free.
I would say check out the Kickstarter. Look,
how can they find it?
Page. So yes, you can. My socials are Dismay Comics. That's DISMAY Comics on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can also, by this point, just Google Tales from Town City Kickstarter, and it'll pop up. You'll be able to click it and scroll through, look at the campaign, and please back this comic. Even if it's small amount, every little bit helps, because with Kickstarter, when you back something, even if it's a dollar, it shares it out to all the people that are following you. It helps out a ton. So please help out in that way, and just follow the social media accounts. You'll be able to see like future stuff that we're working on. There's obviously Gallows Man number 3, plan to have that out next year. Dismay Avenue number 3, plan to have that out next year. And Tales from Town City number 2, I plan to have that out next year. I'd like to have at least 2 of those 3 out by next year, but maybe all 3 will be out by next year. But I want to get those done. And then there's a couple other series that I've recently finished writing that I want to get going, that are very different than the stuff I've been writing.
That's
and I'm sure when time permits, I'm sure you might sleep here and there, but just kidding.
It happens here and there.
Here and there.
If only I didn't have to, if it wasn't a necessity.
If I could just take a bunch of drugs and stay awake all the time.
Yeah,
not always.
Good. Oh yeah, drugs.
Oh, all right.
As the slight segue, potentially, who knows? I will say, the tinfoil hypnotism. All my only note on that, I had a few notes, but the main one was that it's a chillingly accurate look at trying to stay alive in the year 2023. I think as a whole,
that's spot on. Yeah, and that's set in the year 1941. Or I think actually 1942. Sorry about that.
Well, I mean, we're kind of back, aren't we? We kind of just circled around in a way, didn't we? It's still relevant. That's all I mean, is it's deeply relevant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
All right. I guess we can just wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And hypnotizing us. Taking over our podcast.
Yeah. Yep. And like, thanks for like putting up with us once you took over.
This is fun.
And we could just say that I think we all talked about it beforehand, that we all really enjoyed the 3 stories that we got to read ahead of time.
Thank you.
Fantastic stuff. Beautiful art.
Yeah.
Really great. I'm sorry we didn't like go into details about that. We should have. But,
but
it's amazing. So yeah, to anybody listening, check it out. Check out the Kickstarter. You'll be able to see the visuals that we were talking about. And we're pretty sure you're going to want to check these books out. So
Tales from Town City issue 1 runs from September 5th to October 5th. Get in there and buy some stuff, please.
Do it.
I say Fierce Pets spinoff. I want a Fierce Pets full-time spinoff animated series. I mean, the sky's the limit.
Thinking about that's what's so funny is like with writing this, because Tales from Town City, ultimately this series was like a how it originated. It was a mistake on my part in terms of printing, because I wrote Gallows Man number 2. Like finished that, but I didn't realize once we were finished doing the art that I had the page increment off, because the printer I used, they page by four, they print by four pages.
Yeah.
And I was at like, basically I wanted enough pages, like 2 or 3 pages to where I could do like letters pages or like behind the scenes. I like having that in some of those comments, like here's how this came about or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
And I realized I had like only one page to do that. So I was like, I guess I'll have to have another 4-page increment. And I was like, well, I need 2 pages to fill in now. Like, what do I do? So what I thought was like, I'll just do a 2-page little backup story following Noose Boy from Gallows Man. And me and Helen did that. And it turned out good as a funny little 2-page story. And once I did that, I was like, you know, I kind of want to do like more of these, little stories following like some of these more minor characters within this world. And like, that's how Tales from Town City like spawned. And even when it spawned, it was like, it'll just be like a one shot. I'll do a one shot, like a 40, 50, 60 page one shot. But then as I was writing them and stuff, I was like, oh crap, like this is going to be longer than I thought, because I got a lot of stories I want to tell, to where it's going to be at least 3 issues, likely 4 or 5 issues. But so mistake spinoff. And then as I'm writing these, especially like Fierce Pets, for example, I possibly do want to do like a spinoff of that. So like a spinoff of a spinoff. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen.
Thanks.
Well, I will subscribe to your newsletter.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And
thank you.
And best of luck with the Kickstarter. It's already done. It's already surpassed.
It's up now. By the time this airs, it's up. And you got till October 5th. So check that out. We'll put the link in the description, obviously, and links to socials and stuff like that.
Yep.
And
And that's that. Put your tinfoil hat on.